One of those weeks, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how do you think I feel?
We're about to find out. Welcome back to the Unanimous Decision Podcast. I am your host, D Palm. Follow me on Twitter at DPalm66. Follow the show on Twitter at UDPod. Follow the entire MTR Network at, you guessed it, the MTR Network. You found us. Don't you dare lose us. Subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe on Spotify. Subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts for free 99. I only fuck up the intro. This show has been around for about 300 episodes. I only screw up the intro with people I'm super comfortable with. Yeah. And that's how you know it's the return of Felder Fridays. Yeah. What up, Felder?
Dude, I'm tired. I'm exhausted.
We're going to get there. I am also exhausted. I can't believe that that just happened. I want to, just before we get into anything else, anything, I want to big up for you. Live show. Hand in the dirt. What's up, baby?
Yeah, we're doing a live show in Raleigh, Raleighwood. Shout out to Raleighwood.
Shout out Raleighwood.
And we're doing a live show on August 24th, week zero. And so it'll be after Tech plays Florida State. And so that'll be fun.
That's dangerous because I could feasibly be there. I could drive up for that.
Yeah. Listen, come on up.
Ooh. That's on. Okay, we'll talk about that one later. That's definitely feasible.
I told him. I said, and I talked to Hartzell, I talked to Cerber, my two co-hosts, and I said, listen, just so you know, I will be turned up. I will be fully activated.
I'm gonna show up 2 hours before the show with just a bottle of Dirty Bird and be like, "Is your problem now?" Sit you loose.
And guess what? 2 hours before the show, I'll already be turned up.
I'm so happy you're here. I wanted to start with that because I don't know if I did send you the picture. Mm-hmm. Dog, a year ago, Felder gave me Rosebush advice. Yes. My homie Felder, who I talk about football with on this podcast, and I'll be good and goddamn if my Rosebush doesn't look beautiful. Doesn't it look glorious?
Yeah, looks good.
That's all because of you, baby. Thank you.
Big, that's all you have to do.
If you're in the Raleigh area, week zero, make sure you make it to the live show. Hand of the Dirt podcast is a gardening podcast
about football.
And if you're listening to this and you like what I do, you should listen to MC University. I've been on their show a couple times this season of X-Men 97. I'm going to be recording that tonight, so it'll be up right when you're listening to this. We're talking about episode 8, the third from the end. Fantastic episode. Excited to do it. Felderman, babies are weapons, dog.
Yeah.
We haven't spoken in a month because my baby's been attacking me. My baby's got teeth now. Yeah. My baby has fists, but more than anything else, my baby has a germ warfare program that is unmatched across this
country. Diabolical.
Dog.
My baby's lost two teeth.
See, my baby's got two. Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
I had a stupid, crazy thought. I'm hanging out with the kid. I'm doing the nighttime stuff, being a dad.
Yeah.
Those teeth fall out.
Yeah. Gone. Bye.
What? These ain't even permanent.
No.
These are temporary tags.
Yeah. This is like when you get the paper tag on your on your freaking Hellcat.
I don't know why it had to be a Hellcat, but it makes more sense for it to be a Hellcat. I mean,
listen, the real ones know. You get that paper tag on your Hellcat, and you're like, yo, I can go as fast as I want.
I'm good. Speaking of hell, you just survived the NFL draft.
Yes, I did. And I did. And it was so, this NFL draft sucked, just to be honest. It was hard, and it was... I think who had the most guys drafted? Washington, Notre Dame, Georgia were the top. I think were the top three. Who had the most guys drafted?
I have no idea. I wanted to ask you, kind of just let the listeners know what you did for draft. Why was this draft month so exhausting for you?
The draft. Here's the thing, and I'll be transparent right here. I should have done more work. I prep pretty hard for the draft. I never studied for school.
Right.
But for the NFL draft, I study pretty hard and I work really hard at it. The problem is my daughter her birthday is in March.
Oh.
And so her birthday is at the end of March, but my wife had to go to Michigan for her best friend's birthday party. And so I had to do two birthday parties. So I had to do like a family birthday party. You know what I'm saying? So I had to do a family birthday party where like, and I'm still like, I'm planning all this. So I had to do a family birthday party where it's just me, my mom, my dad, my brother, my niece, my nephew. I have to do that. And then I also have to handle the second weekend of April. I have to handle another birthday party.
And there's no option to be like, I've got to grind some tape. No, yeah. Baby needs a birthday.
I watched a lot. And I said, you know what? I'm going to focus on the defensive side of the ball. Offense, fuck off. Except for the running backs. I did look at all the running backs. And I'm surprised that Sheridan didn't get drafted, which is amazing. Kid from Monmouth. But I'm focused up.
Right on.
And I did the wide receivers. I did the wide receivers, did the quarterbacks, did the running back. I just couldn't do all the offensive linemen. And I don't, no disrespect to you, but like I was focused.
Yeah.
On there were
you
no
made good, you made priority decisions. You made you know what you were? You were a fucking adult. And you were like, I can't eat the entire buffet. What to the buffet am I gonna eat?
Yeah, I'm gonna. You know what? I'm hitting the shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get the crab. 100. This is and in my mind, this is a Chinese buffet. So I'm going shrimp. Always I'm going crab. And I'm absolutely, you better believe me, I'm going to go ahead and knock out like the Rangoon. Like where
shout out to Chinese buffets whose heads fell when like the football team walked in. Yeah. Like shout out to you.
Yeah, like I know what I'm doing. Like I don't need a yeast roll, which is what that's what an offensive lineman is. I don't need a yeast roll. I don't need the yeast roll. Well, listen, not touching it. I'm going to hit the heavy hitters nonstop. And so we went there and we did that. And the draft was just, it was a lot. And I was just so tired.
Did you go to Detroit?
No, I was in New York City in the studio for a Bleacher Report. And so
can I just, and I do this every year and I bitch about it every year because I was still an agent when it happened. They changed the league year 1 year.
Yeah.
And they forgot to book Radio City Music Hall.
Yeah,
and that's why the draft is no longer in New York. That's why the draft turned into a ticket selling event around the goddamn nation. And it should have been a black eye for the league, but because they're the league, somehow they turned it into a pep rally for what is a legitimate human resources meeting.
Yeah,
this could have been done over email.
The whole don't get me started.
Well, I do want to ask you, like, I'm not going to get into the nitty gritty of the things that obviously made you mad. I do want to know kind of what you thought of the, I know the draft sucked. It's, it weighs on you, but day one, night one, you're watching kids' dreams come true.
I love
six quarterbacks top of the draft.
Okay. So let's start with Penix.
As a non-Falcons fan, happily.
Yeah. But did you see what the GM said?
Yeah, lied. Just lied.
Hey, it's not a lie. You have to pay this guy $100 million. It's not a lie.
I'm really glad I gave up the Falcons because that would have broken me.
Dude, Hartzell, I was talking to Hartzell and Hartzell was like, because we did this, I didn't do night one of the draft for work. I just saw night one of the draft.
Okay.
And then Friday morning, and Hartzell's like, yeah, but this, do you hear this clown saying it'll be good if he sits for 4 or 5 years? And we're like, yeah, except we know how rookie deals work in the NFL, right?
And we know he's 24, right?
And he's in it, and he's 24.
With barcodes on his knees and shoulders because they have been structurally.
But we have a 24-year-old.
Come on.
That's torn both ACLs.
Come on.
And you want him to sit for 4 years. And then what? I mean, what is that? Is that Jeezy? And then what? Then I'm going to snack. What are we doing?
I don't, I don't want someone to, I've had a lot of Falcons fans like, oh, no, you don't understand. I'm like, cool, explain to me like I'm five. If I don't understand, what do you understand that I don't?
If and you they don't can't understand, if you or me don't understand how bad this is, the fuck do they understand?
Felder, they're going to give Kirk Cousins $100 million American dollars.
Guaranteed. I want $100 million American dollars.
Kirk Cousins only won one more playoff game than you have.
Yeah.
Played in. I think it just played in. I think he's played in one more.
I'm going to stack my flows. I'm going to stack some mo.
Falcons fans, you don't have to do this.
Yay at my auntie's house.
You don't have to do this, Falcons fans. You can walk away. If a team brings you nothing but pain, and I'm talking to all y'all because there's no one who's like, the Falcons have been treating me well. I don't care how old you are.
You're
it's
hurt.
It's always been pain. Walk away. The league is so much fun right now. There's no reason to do this to yourself.
It's bad. This is a bad decision. And the idea that you're going to draft and stash a guy who is 24. For what? You're going to stash him for 4 years? So he's 28. 28. And then he gets to the end of his rookie deal.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, now's the time.
Do we pay him or not? And you won't know because you won't have the data because you're pot committed on Kirk fucking Cousins.
That's and the Vikings are sitting there like, and I don't even think the Vikings made a good pick. Do you want to go through this? Can we go through
this? Let's do this because I think JJ could get them all fired. I also think JJ is like, because right now, coaches in the NFL are a lot of that McVay tree, a lot of that Shanahan tree, where if I can get someone to run my offense, it's going to be just fine. And if you need someone to just run the offense, like they think JJ's got it because he's never done it before.
I don't like him.
Well, it's because you watch college football.
I don't. Like,
it's nuts. It's a thing where every year this happens where you or I or someone else who watches a lot of college football is like, but why did they do that? Didn't they see his movies?
Right. Yes. It's very funny you brought that up. Like, see his movies because my wife and I I saw it in theater. She had never seen it before, but we just watched Captain Phillips.
Okay.
And she was like, this is really good. And I was like, it is good. But also, Tom Hanks doesn't do movies like this very often.
Hmm.
Usually he makes movies for children.
Yes.
Like Polar Express. That's a horrible movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes this is a movie where he does have to be like kind of a bad guy. And not bad in a bad way, but I think about Captain Phillips. I think about Castaway, where like he has to like go through some shit.
He's actually having to act. He's having to he's having to use his craft, which he's still got. Like he's still got the fastball.
He still has it.
Yeah.
But like Polar Express, Big, all like those movies, he's just like, oh, da, 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 Forrest Gump. Yeah. And I was like, and she was like, oh my gosh, he's really good. And I was like, yeah, I wish he did it more.
It's the first time I saw I Am Legend.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain to people, like, you understand, like, Will Smith was on camera for 2 hours by himself acting. Like, that's acting. Like, that's fantastic. Yes. And he didn't have to do it all the time. So he does Men in Black and named Blight? Like, a bunch of bad movies.
Blight but,
like,
was terrible.
I'll always defend him. I'm like, I've seen him do it. He didn't do it all the time. But right. When he does it, motherfucker, he can cool. Do it. Yeah.
He can do it. And it's I like to see it. Like, I don't like Tom Hanks because he kind of rests on his laurels.
Right.
And so with respect to this, handing the ball off is J.J. McCarthy resting on his laurels. Like that to bring it back full circle. Like the end of the Penn State game, the back half of that game where he just hands the ball off the whole time, that's resting on your laurels.
It's so funny. Like someone was like, oh, this is a good pick. I go, explain to me how he's not A.J. McCarron. With a straight face. Explain to me how he's not name a mid-2000s Alabama quarterback right now to my face.
Right.
Explain it to me.
Well, we have So it's pool season. Pool season starts next weekend.
Our pool doesn't open. Oh, I think it does. It opens Memorial Day. Is Memorial Day next season? Next week?
Oh, no. Our pool opens on Mother's Day.
Ooh, look at you.
It's, yeah, we, listen, don't worry. We're activated, baby. Bang, bang. but no, we, but pool season starts, and one of the people, one of the couples that we go to the pool with, and they were at Savannah's birthday party, the birthday party that stopped me from doing more cramming on the draft. They were late. They stayed late. And they literally, like, their daughter, the family across the street, and my kid, we turned on the water feature of the bounce house.
Okay, got you.
And so we had three kids. The mom wasn't there, but it was the dad, myself, my wife, and then another couple. And we turned on the water feature, and they hung out nonstop because they wanted to see how full they could get the pool at the bottom of the mountain. And he's a Michigan guy. He went to Michigan.
Okay.
And so we were talking about it, and I was like, dude, he's not good. And they were like, and he goes, how good do you think he could be? I was like, he could be very good. But why didn't they ask him to be very good in college? And that's the question. Mm-hmm. Why didn't they ask him to be very good in college? Like, we know Caleb. Caleb goes number one. They asked, Lincoln Riley asked him to do, he asked him to do everything.
I'm pretty sure Caleb Williams is making copies on Mondays. Like, Caleb Williams did everything for that school.
Like, he's, for both schools, Oklahoma and
I keep forgetting he moved, yes, but yes.
He's asking him to do everything. He's like, hey, man, like, on Monday morning, I don't know if they had practice on Sunday or practice on Monday, but either way, he's showing up and Lincoln is like, hey, man, our defense sucks shit, and I do need you to – you got to get me 40 today, just so you know. I need 40 out of you, and then we'll figure the rest out. J.J. McCarthy, Harbaugh's like, hey, man, we're going to not let you do anything.
Ever.
At all. And we'll go from there. That's our starting point.
Is limit your exposure. And I'll say this. I don't like Harbaugh for a lot of reasons. Homeboy Hall of Fame for talking him up to all the other coaches. Like, I would take him right now if I didn't have this number. All right, bro. Don't you got to lie, but like, that's wild to say out loud.
You ain't got to lie to kick it. But yeah, so, I like, what did we do? Listen, I know they have Justin Jefferson. Great. I think Justin Jefferson, I can't wait to see Justin Jefferson on All the Smoke.
Oh.
Because he's going to be like, this guy sucks. I mean,
I can't wait for Stefon Diggs to get really honest on one of these podcasts about Josh Allen. That's the one I'm like chomping at the bit for. I cannot wait. Just tell me some truth, Diggs.
But I'll tell you what, Josh Allen's better than J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, hell yes. Oh, wait, hold on now. I was not saying it on the same level. I just want Diggs' is how I got out of Buffalo story. Yeah. I think it's going to be very funny. But those are two quarterbacks.
I can't wait to hear Trayvon Diggs talk about Dak Prescott.
I can't wait for a lot of people. Hey, man, anyone who wants to host the Dak Prescott, I used to block for you in Michigan, in Mississippi State O-line podcast. I would watch that. I'd watch every second of it.
For you when you're on spring break.
I didn't say that. I didn't make that joke. I want that noted. That was not Deep Palm. That was someone else. six quarterbacks. I think JJ has a propensity to get people fired. Yes. Bo Nix is going to get everyone. Bo Nix might get a franchise move. Bo Nix.
I'm excited about him.
Did you hear what Sean Payton said?
No.
Sean Payton said, I let Patrick Mahomes get by me once, and I see that in Bo Nix.
No, wrong.
That was an involuntary no. Felder didn't plan to say that shit. No.
Yeah, no, wrong. No.
And I look at that, and I look at the room, and I look at Sean Payton, who the last time he bet on a quarterback, for the record, the last time he paid a quarterback, for the record, was?
Drew Brees?
No. No. The little boy from BYU who backed up Drew Brees.
Oh,
Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill.
He gave Taysom Hill like $14 million. Like, no, he gave him more than that. Like, Felder, like that's where everyone's like, oh, Sean Payton. I'm like, dog, y'all need to be very careful trusting Sean Payton with these quarterback decisions. Because he made them sign Taysom Hill with all that money, and then he got the fuck out of town.
Well, he had to get out of town.
And then he called Bo Nix Patrick Mahomes. I don't trust nothing this man says.
I just don't. Like, the thing with for me is, like, I think Bo Nix is – listen, if I'm betting on one of these guys, J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix, I'm betting on Bo Nix.
I watched too much Georgia football to bet on Bo Nix. I saw that shit too often.
I saw it a lot, but the thing for me is, one, the quarterback coach, obviously Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. But also, Bo Nix went through – he went through shit.
That's a good point.
He went through it. Like, Bo Nix was like, I got to move out to move up. Like, I got to get – I can't be here.
I can't be at the school that my family went to. I can't be at the school that is my lineage. I need to go and grow, and that's what he did in Oregon.
Yes, exactly. And so I'm betting on Bo Nix more.
Okay.
J.J. McCarthy is like – listen, if he's good – here's the other part. And I hope folks that are listening to this, I hope they understand this. I want J.J. McCarthy to be good. I've compared this man to Randall Cunningham. Like, if he's good, he could be that good.
Okay.
But I don't trust.
That's the butt is so huge here.
I don't trust anything around him.
Right. And why would you?
And that's the problem. It's not him. When you don't let. So here's the thing. You have dogs, right?
Yeah.
So, you have dogs. I had a dog. Like, I get it. But there are things that you let your dog do. And there are things that you don't let your dog do. Mm-hmm. And then there are, and I guess we can throw Caleb Williams into this mix as well. Caleb Williams is a dog that just is like, I don't know what to do. I'm not in charge of him.
Can I step in here for a split second?
Sure.
I wanted to say something because I've said this for years on this podcast. You and I have talked about this, how I didn't trust Caleb Williams because I did not watch him develop over the last 2 years.
Sure.
That being said, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, well, that's not his fault. And it's not his fault.
Right.
Is that coaching staff's fault? But now I'm wondering, like, is he in a place where is he still going to be able to grow? And that's my bigger concern for Caleb. Like, that's when I saw him with the Bears. I was like, what are we doing?
Well, the Bears haven't had a good quarterback. The Bears haven't developed a quarterback since when?
Sid Luckman, Columbia University's Heisman Trophy winner. There you go. Thank you for asking.
Right. So there are some dogs that need to be in a crate the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
That's J.J. McCarthy. Like, or you haven't done a good enough job of training up your dog to where he doesn't get on the couch, to where he doesn't get in the bed, to where he doesn't pee on the floor, to where he doesn't do all this stuff. So you have to keep him in the crate. So which one is it? Jim Harbaugh? Because he's in the crate the whole time.
Staying in the crate. He's at home in the crate. He likes his crate.
He likes the crate. If you're the Vikings and you got Justin Jefferson, you know what you need to do? You better let that dog out the crate. You better let him out of the crate.
You better hope he got something when you do. You better hope that there's something left. Like,
you better hope he don't piss on the floor.
My favorite draft pick in the top 12 for the quarterbacks. I love Jaden Daniels.
Same.
I love Jaden Daniels.
I absolutely
unabashedly, unreservedly, he's is the best. So much fun to watch. He's got weapons. He's a little slight of build, so I think he'll run less in the NFL.
But he's not slight.
He's not slight. He's slight to where I don't want to see you get them hits five times.
But the NFL's not going to let that happen to him.
That's very true. That's very true.
He is slim.
I'm just have a little bit of concern with that turf at that stadium and that franchise. That's like that more than anything. Like, that's the compounding thing for me around Jaden Daniels.
Okay. I just think that he's.
Oh, the upside is I think Jaden Daniels is the sneaky, like, well, we shouldn't have let him slip like to two. Like, I think Jaden Daniels is going to light this motherfucker on fire, and I cannot wait to watch it.
I love him. I think, and I think the Commanders, you look at their entire draft, they did a really good job.
They really did. It was really impressive. I ask this selfishly because I want to see Brock Bowers succeed. But Raiders, come on, dog. Like, what are we doing?
The Raiders are – the Bowers pick I thought was a good pick.
Yeah.
And you get Bowers at – what is – they got him at what, 13?
13.
And so we're looking at the 13th pick overall. And Brock Bowers, this is a guy, and this is something that I've argued with people about. He's a 230-pound tight end.
Mm-hmm.
He's not 200. Like, people keep comparing him to Kelsey. They compare him to Kittle.
No.
And I'm like, no. He's 230 pounds. Those guys are 250 pounds.
Yep.
It's different. Mm-hmm. And like I say this as someone who I weigh 213 pounds right now. The difference between when I weigh 250 pounds versus 213 pounds, it's worlds apart.
Right.
Like you live in a different world. That those 20 pounds from 30 to 50, those 20 pounds are game changing in terms of what you can do.
So rookie Bowers is going to be one thing. Do you think his frame could hold on to the if he got to 240, would we still be as explosive and effective?
No.
Okay.
I think he's a 235 pound guy.
He's just an undersized. He's just going to be a really big slot guy.
Yeah.
Which is how the usage of tight end is evolving anyway. Honestly, like if you draft Brock Bowers and then run 12, you screwed up.
Yeah. Put him at F. Play him at F. And use him at F. Like we've seen JerMichael Finley. We've seen guys like this. Like just put him there. I mean, and I hate to say this, and this was my – I'm doing the show, and they asked me about Brock Bowers, and I said he's kind of like Aaron Hernandez, and I'm like, I'm not allowed to say this, but that's what he reminds me of. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's bad. It's bad.
No, it's not because, like, athletically you're right, but, like
– You can't say that.
You can't say it.
And I
what
said
if Aaron Hernandez didn't kill people? Like, that's Brock Bowers.
Like, this is a non-murdering Aaron Hernandez.
And then, because someone's going to say, what if the murder gave him an edge? And then you're having that conversation, which you don't want to have on television.
Well, guess what? Sometimes murder does give you an edge.
Damn it, Felder.
Sky had an edge.
Oh, my God. Bowers got an edge. Bowers will whoop your ass. Bowers likes hitting motherfuckers. I'm going to miss watching Brock Bowers on Saturdays.
Well, like, I think about him. Like, I think about Nick O'Leary, right, from Florida State. And it's like, you have to be a little dangerous.
Yeah.
And I don't mean it in the way of a murder way.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, Nick O'Leary got hit by a bus. Because he was riding a motorcycle. And you're like, why? What if you just walk to class?
Nah, it's too easy. It's too easy.
I think Brock Bowers has a little bit of that in his tank. And so I'm excited because the
big. I just don't know who will give him the ball, man.
You got to give it to him.
How? There's no quarterback on their roster.
Hand it off.
F. You're right. F. That's all me.
He's playing F. Hand the ball off to him. Hand it off. Shovel pass. Who cares?
Oh my
just
God.
Give him the football.
Let's leave the draft for a second.
Hang on. No.
No, go
think
ahead.
About this. Think about this.
It's too funny.
If you go into 12 personnel.
All right.
You go 12. And he's off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And then you're in shotgun. Boom. Just shoot it straight to him. You're done. That's it. That's the whole play. You're just running zone.
You're not wrong. I'm not going to.
You can run trap. You can run zone. You can run counter. All those things are all in play. That's your run game. That's part of your run game. And then guess what? Maybe you fake that and then you shoot it out to your running back and you go from there.
You're espousing a level of creativity I have. You don't genuinely associate with the NFL.
I'm not wrong about this, though.
I didn't say you were wrong. I was saying it's unlikely to see at this level because people...
Because they got Zeus, right?
That's, yeah. No, yeah. Yeah.
They have Zeus. So can you imagine this? Hang on. I'm going to stand up for a second. Can you imagine this? Brock's at the wing, right?
Right.
Brock's at the wing. And so a couple plays before, you've already given him the shovel.
Right.
Boom. Done. Next play, boom. Okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'm going to reverse out and then give it back to him coming this way. Okay, we got it. And now we're going to show you that same look, but we're going to do that flip toss, the skip.
Yep.
And we're going to skip it to Zeus. Let's go. Let's play some fucking football, man.
I hope you're right. I would love to see him use that way. That's a level of creativity that I really do hope we see out of Las Vegas, which is still hard for me to say.
I'm not wrong. No. And you as an offensive lineman, you know that that will work.
It will not just work. I would love to play in it because if the defensive lineman is confused, guess what he's not doing?
Coming at you.
Stopping this block. Stopping this block.
Yeah.
He's trying to peek in the backfield. I'm overrunning you over, dog. We're talking about second and three. Let's go.
This is the fucking Winter Olympics peekaboo street. Let's go.
That's such a good reference. Can we take a small victory lap about Deion Sanders?
Yeah. What about it?
Because did you see this shit where a kid was asked to leave or was like told like you don't have a place here in Colorado. Mm-hmm. He then told his story to the Athletic. The Athletic ran it and was like, hey, you know, probably could have done this better. And he has come out and like he's quote tweeting the story with the kid's stats in FCS. Like it's some petty, small, like it's further proof that we were right. He's never cared about any of these kids. Shedeur Sanders tweeting out, bro, honestly, I don't remember this kid. He must have been Barry Mid. Like, and there are people who are going to come out and say, oh, Deepon, this is college football. It wasn't. I'm telling you right now.
It was not.
It was like, I don't, like, you can believe in the movie, the program. You can believe all the worst things about college football you want to. It was never this. There had to be at least a facade of giving a shit.
Yes.
You had to pretend.
And he does not care.
Not only does he not care, he's openly saying like, why would I care about that kid? Look what my kid's doing. What's their kid? Like, he is like, for him, the point is the glorification of Deion Sanders.
Right. Yeah, it's very selfish.
Yes. Yes.
I think about this a lot because I was telling my wife, there are three things that my dad called me when I was a kid. And Dad, I love you. And if you listen to this, I think I'm right. And I remember this very well. I was called selfish, lazy, and a crybaby. And what that did for me personally, and this isn't a knock on the way that my parents parented.
Right.
It was, how do we course correct? And I don't think there's any course correction for Deion.
The fact that his son would do that and his dad would like pile on after that, like that in and of itself.
Exactly.
And I'm not trying to be Kendrick, like talking about you ain't even a good father, but like,
yeah.
What values have you? By the way,
that's a whole other.
That's a whole other thing. But I do ask, like, especially, and I do hate saying this as a father, I think a lot about the values I want to instill in my son. And like, for someone to come out and say, like, if I read the Athletic article, the worst thing he says is like, I wish he'd been less callous about it. He ain't called Deion all the things I called him.
Sure.
He didn't say Deion slapped my mom. He just said, look, he could have done it better. There's a way to do things. There's something I was told as a child. There's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things.
Right.
Getting it done is not enough.
Yeah, it sucks. And just, again, and to go back, like, I love my dad. I see my dad every single week. You know I love my dad.
Yeah.
And the reality for me is being called selfish when I was a kid helped me realize you have to be selfless.
Mm-hmm.
And being called lazy helped me realize I have to work harder.
Mm-hmm.
And being called a crybaby, that didn't go. I'm still a crybaby. That was, like, I'm still a crybaby. Everyone knows that. Like, I cry every morning on the way to school because we listen to Moana, but
it's a good reason.
But the point for me is that Dion doesn't have everything in his life has been affirmed.
Mm-hmm.
And so when everything that you've ever done, everything that you've ever been has been affirmed, you've never been knocked down. You've never been. And just for the record, I'm not saying humble yourself.
No.
Because I think humbling yourself is bullshit.
100%.
I'm saying that he's never been knocked down and had to, like, get up. He's been the best the whole time.
He's never had to
develop. When was he not the best?
He's never had to develop the muscle of, here's where I can improve.
Yeah.
As a person, not athletically, you can be faster. Those same auspices, the same goals you have to lift this or be this fast, you can apply them to your internal growth as well. And a lot of this, this man has never had to do that. So he didn't have the tools to show his sons, here's how you be more than this.
And so that's you put it perfectly. I think that the big thing for me is, like, and I don't know, I guess I think about it as a father.
Yeah.
Obviously as well. Like, I don't know. It's a weird, I don't want to go into an existential world.
No, here, but you're right. It's weird, like, as a father to watch a father mislead his son so directly on, like, a large stage. So, like, not only mislead him, but to sell such a deplorable example. Like, even if part of me understands the Dion being like, hey, man, this kid stank, get him out of here. Like, the fact that you've got a son on the team who's – two sons, excuse me, on the team who are watching you would – and that doesn't give you any sort of pause or, like, you know what, I got to accord myself in a certain way. No, none of it. Never crosses my mind. Here's
the thing. Did your dad coach you?
Never officially.
Okay.
Like, I'd come home from practice, my dad would give me pointers and shit, but was never on a staff.
So my dad coached me in youth sports. He didn't coach me in, like, high school or whatever. He coached me in youth sports. And my dad treated the bottom of the roster better than he treated the top.
Yeah.
He treated the bottom of the roster better than he treated the top. And I guess that's what we're seeing right now, is that divergence.
What we're seeing is the skill set of actual coaching, like not just a collection of talent and winners win and losers lose, but like to grab a group of men, young men, and to inspire them in a singular direction. It's one of the hardest things you can do in any field.
Well, that's the thing. And I guess because my parents are teachers.
Right.
My parents run to the kid that can't read, right?
That's where the teaching happens, yeah.
They run to the kid that can't do math. They run to the kid that can't really throw the ball. So my parents ran to this kid, Julian, Julian sucked, dog. I'm sorry, did I just make you spit something?
No, you're good. I kept the laugh in. I was going to let Felder keep going because that's too funny.
This kid sucked. He was so bad.
Shout out to Julian.
But it's fun. You know what? I bet Julian is a fucking great dad.
Right.
I bet he's a great dad right now. Julian sucked at baseball. And, you know, they have pitch restrictions, inning restrictions in Little League. And I hit the top of my limit. I'm in the middle of throwing a no-hitter. And I had already pitched earlier that week, so I can't pitch anymore. I got to get out of the game. We also have to get Julian in the game. So I leave from pitching to first base. Julian goes into the outfield, and we bring in this other guy, Fred, who he's fine. He's not that good. If I was in the game, we'd have still been destroying, but it is what it is. We lose a playoff game in Little League. But at the end of the day, like, Fred gives up a hit goes, it's a bloop over my head. I run to the outfield to go. I'm at first base. I run right. to the outfield to go get it. And I throw it in. And my brother played catcher. And so I throw it into him. And we are like a step away from punching this guy out at home base. And my dad was like, "Hey man, we all tried our best and this was good." And he's like, "Julian, like, thank you so much for like getting in my," and I said, "You were late to the game. Why did you even show up?" And my dad is like, "You go get in the car."
Yeah, you can't affirm that behavior. Yeah, man.
Yeah, my dad goes, "You go get in the car."
Man,
you can't affirm that. That's the best way to put it. You can't affirm that behavior. You go get in the car. And he had the team meeting. He's like, "I'll deal with you later. Right now, I want to say thank you to everyone that showed up, everyone that was here. We care about you. Thank you so much. Guess what? We're going to have our pizza party for the end of the year. We're going to do this. We're going to do that." And I stomped off like a baby.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where, like, you realize, like, my kid's starting swim team. She doesn't get to be upset about this shit. Like, you have to, like, it's not just that sportsmanship matters. It's more about how you deal with people on a day-to-day. Mm-hmm. And you have to deal with people on the day-to-day. And so that's the thing which should, like, I don't know, like, you know this. You've been an agent. This is going to come up when it comes to
when the draft happens, about the places his son won't play.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe it works out for him. Good luck. God bless. But, like, I'm telling you, man, you're not, I don't give a fuck who you think you are. You're not bigger than that machine, particularly that machine.
Yeah. The NFL machine, the Shield.
They don't need you.
No.
You could be hanging out with Dwayne in the spring. You could play a card wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll catch you on the next one, see the supplemental draft. Like, because, yeah. and I didn't want to park here too long, but, like, I'll be honest, it after everything I already knew about him. At some part of me was like, hey, at some point that dad's going to come out. He's going to show him that. I'm like, no, it's just not there. And yeah. If you're listening to this and you're our age and you're like, I don't know, be your parent to your kids. Don't be their friend. This is what happens when you're their friend. This is the shit that happens. Yeah. You listen to Drake and you bark at children on the internet. Be their parent. Listen to Kendrick and tell them to get off the damn Twitter.
I don't even listen to Kendrick.
I do.
I don't feel bad about it. Like, I don't listen to Drake either. Like,
It's because you're not. Well, I'm not gonna say the thing Bomani said on his podcast.
What did he say?
He said Bo had Roy Wood Jr. on this week. He says, "I've dated three women who all said, 'Of course I listen to Drake. I'm a girl.'"
Yeah. I mean, I'm a girl, but maybe I'm a girl.
Couple more things. But no, I found my kid. Go ahead. Go. Finish up.
The big thing for me is, it's you have to, as a parent, mm-hmm. and it's not even just as a parent. It's just as a person.
As a grown up.
Yes. Grown adult. You mm-hmm. have to say something.
Yes.
And so no one has said anything.
At all.
You let it go. And I think that's important. But also with respect to, like, how it works in my mind. Like, my dad comes over every week. My kids got swim lessons. My dad comes to swim lessons every week.
That's awesome.
It's super cool. It's so dope. Like, it's very cool. But they don't, my dad doesn't, like, my dad stands at the back. Mm-hmm. He's not out there cheering. My kid knows that my dad is one of her biggest cheerleaders. but my dad does not cheer. My dad stands behind and he claps, but he stands in the back and he's like, I don't want to put pressure on you. You don't have to do anything for me. I'm going to love you no matter what. And you don't have to perform for me, which this feels like performance to me.
It very much does. And I got to run because I got to go be a dad and pick up my kid. But I'll tell you this. You just, and I know he's listening, so shout out, Pops. You just reminded me of when I played high school football. I played high school football, and I graduated 03. I was very, I was pretty good.
Same year.
It's pretty good. Ended up playing college football. My father played in the NFL. He's in the Hall of Fame at Clark Atlanta University. He came to every game. He never was in the crowd with the parents cheering. He was never up at the front of the thing. You know where he sat every game? And you may remember this because you talked about your father.
Concourse?
No. He sat at the top of every stadium.
Yeah.
He had a big, he had two big placards made, Area 66. I wore number 66.
Nice.
And he'd bring it to the home games, the green one, and the white one to the road games. So if I looked up in the stands, I could never not see him.
Sure.
But it was never like your, like you said, it was never you're performing for me. It was never you're fulfilling something I want you to do. It was, so, I love you and support you no matter what.
So I know you got to go, but I'm going to do
you're
this.
Good.
This is the last thing. My dad never missed a game.
Ever.
I also was pretty good at football too. And high school, my dad never missed a game. My dad didn't, he didn't do signs or anything. There are two moments that I remember. One, my dad had a teacher's conference. I think it was in St. Louis or Chicago, whatever. He had to go, he had to fly somewhere and then he wasn't going to make it to the game. Got on an earlier flight, came to the, and he made it to the game and he was, in the game, he showed up in a pea coat, like a pea coat, like fully dressed up because he came straight from the conference because he took an earlier flight. And he just looked at me and he just gave me the peace sign, which my daughter and I do that every single day.
That's
what's
up.
We go peace sign every day. So I remember that because it was a game at South Mech. And then the other thing that my dad, the other moment I really remember, my dad used to record all my games because I needed to watch them.
Yeah.
So I would be ready for film the next day.
Yeah.
I wanted to see what I was seeing before I got to film. And so my dad was recording a game, and this is a game I scoop and score. 85 yards. Touchdown.
Get him.
And my dad goes, my mom grabs my dad's hand and is going like this. Like she's holding, he's trying to record video and she's doing this.
She's just excited. He's a mom.
And he goes, get your hands off me, Becky.
Hey, man, this has been a lot of fun. Shout out to all the good fathers out there. Shout out to you, Dad, who I know is listening. My father, my senior year of high school, worked in Memphis. During the week, he would drive from Memphis to Atlanta every week to make it every wrestling match, every football game,
that's awesome.
Every one of my brother's performances. Our fathers taught us what sacrifice was, not by brother, telling us, by showing us. They showed us, and you can show your children if you're not Deion goddamn Sanders.
Yeah, that's the part that it does suck. Like
it's so enraging because you're right. We had good dads who gave us shit and gave us morals and taught us how to live.
Here's the thing. He didn't. He did.
That's you know what? Don't make me. I don't want to leave here feeling bad for Deion. I don't know.
But he didn't. And
you're not. You are not responsible for your mental illness. You are. You're not. It's not your fault, but it's your responsibility. It's not your fault.
That's a great point.
Yep. But it's your responsibility, guys.
Absolutely.
Felder, tell everyone where they can find you, brother.
Folks, check out the Substack. It's felder.substack.com. Obviously, check me out on Learfield. We have a live show coming up in Raleigh. So if you're in Raleighwood, we're going to be just we're going to be in Raleigh. Like we're going to be in Raleigh on week zero. Me, myself, the OGs, and the full cast. We're going to be in Raleigh, and we're just going to. They're going to let us go crazy, and they think we're only going to do an hour, and that's going to be real fun for them.
I'm going to show up. Like I'm going to find a way up there. Like,
yeah.
This has got to happen. Just if only so. I see you shaking the flask. The podcast is over. The flask is empty. MC University podcast. If you want to talk a little X-Men 97, I'll be on there talking episode 8. Tolerance is Extinction, part 1. I'll be recording that tonight, so it'll be up after you listen to this. That was your show. There is no outro. See you guys on Tuesday.